If you want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Titus this evening, you may remember back at Vision Sunday, we were talking about the different things we'd like to study throughout this year, and one of the things I mentioned was starting a study in the book of Titus. And yes, it has taken me till September to get started in this study. But hey, better late than never, amen. And I'm really been looking forward to this, and I'm going to be saying some more things about some upcoming events that ministries and really goals that we have as a local church. We're going to continue, of course, our study through Daniel and in the coming weeks. But did want to start the book of Titus. And what I wanted to do in my vision in the first place was to begin this study as we begin writing our Constitution. I wanted to really be going through these verses and talking about how Paul encouraged Titus when he told him specifically to put things in order that we'll read here in just a moment. But I'll fill you in more details on the goal of the Constitution here in just a minute. But just as a way of introduction to the book of Titus, we're just going to read a few verses here. I'm going to kind of give sort of the theme and overall idea that Paul had and objective that he had in encouraging this young preacher boy, preacher man, I should say, in the things of the Lord. Let's begin reading in verse 1 in Titus. It says here, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Let's pray. Father, please, we ask your blessings upon the Word of God during this time. Pray that you would make it clear and help us, Lord, as we begin to study this great book of the Word of God and its instructions dealing with the local church and its order. Please help us, Lord, to always seek to maintain order and the things that you've blessed us with. And we love you, Lord, and we ask that you would guide us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the theme of this study will simply be this: order in the church. You know, it's God's will for there to be order in His church. We'll read more about that here in a moment in Corinthians, as Paul would exhort the church in Corinth to do things orderly. But just let me give you some, an overview of some of the objectives that Paul had in writing to Titus. One, it was simply this, that we picked up right in these first few verses. It was to remind Titus what Paul had begun and starting this work on the island of Crete. But it was saying this, to continue. He's saying, Titus, I want you to continue what I started, and I want you to put some things in order. And we notice that the Word of God says there, you'll notice in verse number 5, it says, set in order the things that are wanting. What that is referring to simply are things that are lacking, things that still yet need some work, need to be put together, need to be established for more order. And so that's exactly what Titus is going to do. But it's not going to be without the encouragement and the guidance and instruction of the Apostle Paul. We see he's going to remind Titus about that. But then we're also going to see him set forth qualifications for pastors and deacons. As I've been studying this book already, I confess to you that, boy, it's already been convicting. Just realizing my qualifications and what qualifies me as an under-shepherd and a pastor of a local New Testament church. And it's very humbling to realize that I have a great responsibility to uphold a testimony that God expects of me, but not only the Lord, but that you expect of me, and rightly so. And by the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but as we get ready to set forth this Constitution, that's what it's going to help us to do. It's going to help us put things in order. Not that things are a disorder right now. I'm not suggesting that one bit. But we're living in a day and age, I'll mention more here in a minute, where we're going to have to set forth some things to protect ourselves. And God's going to give us wisdom in that, but truly, even in a constitution, that is something we do. Perhaps something we're lacking in our day and age. Perhaps battles that this church was not facing at this time, but boy, things that the church is facing today, even in the United States of America, and the great responsibility we have as a church to make sure that we're constantly seeking to do things in order that will further the gospel and to protect the local church. And so we see here he sets forth qualifications for pastors and deacons. And yes, I said deacons. You remember when I was candidating, that was one of the things that I realized in the beginning, that something that I think should be implemented. I do believe in the office, the New Testament office of deacon. And I believe that we'll be able to implement that in the future months as we get our constitution established and the qualifications are set forth according to the Word of God. But I believe that's going to be a great blessing to our church. And of course, we'll go into details. What is a deacon? And we'll be studying that as we go through Titus. And so it's going to help us a lot for things to be clear. But not only did he set forth qualifications, but as we move through chapter 1 and chapter 2, he's going to warn about false teachers. He's going to set forth some warnings in the Word of God. And he even said there, listen, in verse 10, "For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcisions." And what does he say? "Whose mouths must be stopped." We see clear instruction from Paul saying, listen, Titus, as you put things in order, you're going to have to establish order in such a way where you can establish discipline and a defense against false teachers or those that would seek to deceive and divide. And so he's going to warn about false teachers, and I'm looking forward to studying through that to help us with discernment, because Lord knows, in our world today, in our country, and even in our communities, boy, we do have false teachers, folks. They're around us, and they deceive people. And it's very sad to see that take place. And we're going to learn how, as New Testament believers, to be discerning people, not to be taking with every wind of doctrine, as Ephesians puts it. We'll study more of that, but that was an encouragement to Titus, but also an instruction in ministering to the different age groups. That is very an interesting aspect of the book of Titus. Paul is writing this young preacher boy, if you will, young pastor, saying, look, you're going to be ministering to different age groups, and you're going to need the wisdom of God. You're going to be ministering to those of older, mature ages, the young people, widows and others that you're going to be ministering to. And you're going to need wisdom. You're going to need discernment and balance in doing that, because you cannot neglect any people group in the local church. All the flock of God needs attention. And that's something that I'm asking God to help me to have balance in. And that we are making sure we are providing good discipleship for our young people, and discipleship and encouragement for our middle age group and our young at heart, or as Miss Betty puts it, I like it too, forever young. That's something that different age groups that we have, and even the ministry of the nursery. Amen. Hallelujah. We're looking forward to just seeing God work in all those areas of our church and those ministries that the Lord has for us. And Paul's going to give some specific instructions on how to do that. And then as we're getting towards even the middle and end of the chapter, he's going to encourage godly living by the grace of God. By the way, God still expects us to seek to live godly. That's nothing foreign. It seems like it's almost becoming more and more foreign to the local church, and it's really sad. Quite frankly, I believe pastors out there are robbing the blessings away from God's people by convincing them that they don't need to live godly. Just show up as you are, stay as you are, leave as you are, and everything will be just fine. But boy, we won't find that in the book of Titus. We'll see very clearly that that there is an order set forth to an expectation of God's people. And boy, that's going to be an encouragement to us and a reminder to us. But I love it the way Paul balances it, though. He just doesn't set forth godly living. But boy, right with godly living, you see coupled with the grace of God. It's a great doctrine of the book of Titus, the grace of God. And we'll be studying more of that and being encouraged by that. But then lastly, we're going towards the end of the book of Titus. We'll see that Paul again is telling Titus that, look, you're going to have to confront troublemakers. Those that would want to cause division. And he says, listen, you're going to have to deal with them. You're going to have to confront them through admonition. But if they do not, there is church discipline necessary. And by the way, that's also biblical, a thing we call church discipline. And that is holding the church member accountable. We see it in the Gospel of Matthew very clearly. We see it through Paul's letters, how the New Testament believer who's a member of a local body like this one is expected to uphold a testimony for the Lord. And if they depart from the faith and depart exactly from what is set forth in the Word of God, there is to be accountability. And Paul clearly makes that sure to do. One thing I'm thankful for is that upon arriving, I've never even in my heart sensed that I was going to have to confront a troublemaker. You folks, if maybe you've done it behind my back, and then I wouldn't know, but at least to my face, 100% of you has shown nothing but love and support. Have you challenged me to think about things? Yes. And asked me about things? Yes. And by the way, I appreciate it. I want you to know that. And I'm still learning. I'm still growing. But I have just received love and support from this church, and I'm so thankful for that. And God is going to bless that unity. God is going to bless that as we move forward in our constitution. As we begin studying the book of Titus, we'll study the character of Titus, who he was, where he was from. We'll study a little bit about the island of Crete. Here, I want to tell you something. This was a big mission field. The Word of God describes these dear folks at Crete, at the island of Crete, as slow bellies. He calls them out. He said even their own prophet calls them out, and they're liars, the Word of God says. So Titus is dealing with a hard group of people, and he needs a lot of wisdom and discernment because he's going to be doing a lot of discipling. And by the way, folks, something that the Lord impressed upon my heart at a prayer meeting the other day is that I believe that we need to be praying that the Lord helps us to reach our community, and that we would start seeing people saved, and that we would see new believers in our church. We may have some here that only been maybe a year or two old in the Lord, and that's great. But the truth is, when Titus went to this island, boy, he had to get out and do some evangelizing. He had to get out and do some discipling to some rough folks. And folks, God's going to lead us to areas in our community where people have no biblical background. They've never experienced the love of God. They've never experienced the grace of God. And God's going to use this church to reach out to them. And we're going to do it with the power of God on our life. And He's going to get the glory. But the truth of the matter is, we're going to learn some things about dealing with liars. Dealing with slow bellies. Lazy people that don't want anything to do with God. We're going to be dealing with folks like that, and we're going to see the grace of God overcome those people. And boy, that's something I'm really looking forward to doing and seeing the Lord work. Well, that's what I wanted to do tonight, just because of some other things I want to go with on the Constitution. But I just want to set forth the themes of what we will be seeing in the future days. I encourage you to be reading through the book of Titus as you have opportunity and as we study it together. I know the Lord will use it in helping us in the days ahead. Let me move on here to sort of switching gears here. I'd like to sort of talk about this idea actually it's not an idea, it's what we're going to do, our goal, I should say, of forming a constitution. Some may say, well, what is a constitution? I've heard, a church constitution, I've heard of them, but what exactly are they? To put it simply, and I'll give you some more details, it's bylaws. It's putting together basically what we believe as a church doctrinally, what we believe as philosophy of ministry, what we believe about church membership. Different things of that nature will be set forth, but more specifically, it really is a legal document that sets forth our mission statement, our methodology, if you will. What we believe about the doctrines of the faith, what we believe about selecting church officers, and what we believe about church discipline, and what we believe about handling of finances, and what it is, it's basically me, the pastor, taking the leadership and putting together, with the help of spiritual men, and putting it together, a constitution, and then what it is, it's put together with the church. As a rough draft, we'll all look at it, and you'll have time to take it home and look over it and pray over it and read over it. You'll have opportunity to come back and ask questions on it. Listen, it's really going to be a time of growth for all of us as we study the Word of God and as we put forth those things. And then finally, of course, what we will do as a church, we will, when we get it right, where we believe God wants us to have it, we will vote on it as a church. And as we're in agreement, one accord. But that's what we're to do. And I believe it is really utterly critical that we have a church constitution. I don't think, as your pastor, that maybe it's just a good idea. I am at the place where I'm convinced this is a must. And that is why when I met with the pulpit committee, I said, Ben, if I come, that will be one of my objectives in the first couple years that I'm there. And we were all in agreement of that. And of course, I mentioned that to you folks too. And I'm so thankful that you were. It was a hearty amen from your part as well. And so this is no surprise, if you will. But we're moving forward with the process, and it will basically really clearly state our governing structure. Now, why do we need one? Let me share a few things here with you why I think we need one and why I am really convinced that it is the best thing to do. Number one, it promotes organization. I believe it's God's will for us to be orderly, is it not? The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 14:40, Paul says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." Now, was he in the context speaking of tongues? Yes. He was talking about that, but if I'm not mistaken, all means all. And Paul said, let all things be done decently and in order. And that's what we're going to do. And of course, that's what Paul told Titus. He said, I would like you to put some things in order that are wanting and lacking. And this is not a reflection upon Brother Tom's leadership. In fact, before leaving, he had even mentioned to the men, and maybe even you as a church, that look, this is something we should be doing. But he had enough sense and wisdom about him that it was not the time to do one with him transitioning out. And then the interim pastor coming in, Brother Bill had wisdom and sense too to know, it's not a good idea as an interim pastor to start this, but wait till God sends you the pastor that He has for you, and then you move forward. And so that's the order we're seeking to go in, because it truly promotes organization. But then secondly, not only does it promote organization, but it gives protection. Oh boy, we need protection, don't we, church? In our day and age, you hear the horror stories that we hear in the media, Christians being attacked because of standing upon the Word of God with conviction. organizations looking to be destroyed because they seek to take a stand on the Word of God. And we live in a day and age where we have to be wise. In fact, that was one of the verses I put here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. What did Jesus tell the disciples? He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." I believe that. And he says, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And really, that's what we're doing. We're seeking just to be wise in our doings and honoring the Lord. But also, I think of in this giving protection, I think of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2. It says this, "And that we may be delivered," Paul says, "from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." And these are the type of people that you have internet trolls. They'll come on, they'll sit on the internet, and they'll try to tune in to messages perhaps that you've posted, or if you're live streaming, or they'll try to get on your website, they'll try to come in. And man, there are some malicious people out there that are servants of the wicked one who are seeking to take down God-fearing, Jesus-loving ministries. And folks, we need to be protective. God expects us to be. That we might be delivered from them, and a constitution truly will help us in the legal realm. If somebody ever tried to come and accuse us of something, we could have things set in order to help us, save us a lot of heartache and probably a whole lot of money in the long run if we can set some of these things in order. So we see promoting organization and we see giving protection. But then I believe also a constitution presents clarity and encourages unity. I believe it gives clarity because everybody's on the same page. You know, when we put this forth, we're all going to be looking at it and reading it. And then as we agree upon it and it becomes our constitution, new members that come in, that will be one of the things. Right now, I just hand them a statement of faith. It's just about 12 or 13 list of our doctrinal statement, and they sign that, and that's what we expect at this time. But a constitution will be a little bit more involved. And now, my goal is not to make it where you have to have a three-inch, three-ring binder, okay? I've seen some constitutions, my goodness, you almost need a PhD to read through them. That is not my goal at all. We will seek to keep it practical, but we will have things stated in such a way where it's clear for all of us to understand, and those that are considering membership, and that it would be clear. You know, this thing of unity is of the utmost importance, folks. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says this. Paul said, "Fulfill ye my joy," what? "That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." And that's our goal, is it not? As Crooked Creek Baptist Church, we're seeking to be of one mind, of one accord, one love. That is what Paul's prayer was for the church of Philippi, and they were a God-fearing church. And that's what we want to be too. Also, listen to this idea of, this covers clarity and unity. Listen to this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That word judgment carries also the idea of discernment and being able to things to be clear. We don't want to have anything foggy in our Constitution where it's going to cause more confusion than it does clarity. And so that will be the purpose of it as well. Because as you know, we are likened to a body, as Paul has clearly stated in 1 Corinthians. And folks, when things get out of place, has anybody ever dislocated like a shoulder or some sort of joint? Anybody ever that is some excruciating pain. Has anybody ever broke something? Finger, arm, leg? Okay, most of you, all right? And how many of you have done that probably at least 10 times? Kendra, where's your hand, honey? I'm just kidding. Not 10 times, just a few. But you know, it causes a lot of pain when things are divided and broken and dislocated. And the truth is, God wants us to remain unified, even through this process. And that definitely is at the forefront of my mind, seeking to do this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says this, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's the goal in mind. And so you see, those are some things that, and there are other reasons, but we're not going to go into a whole lot of detail on that. I don't want to belabor the point, but you understand the gist of it. We are seeking to promote organization, give protection, and present clarity, and encourage unity. Now, all that to be said, you need to understand that this is just a constitution. Our number one, the one who's in charge of us, is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our head, okay? Constitution does not take the place of the Lord Jesus, neither does the Constitution take place of the Word of God. Alright? This is a document being put together by a church to help, again, with the things I just mentioned. It's a tool. It's an instrument. Is there anything in the Word of God that says specifically, thou shalt have a constitution? No, it's not, but there are plenty of principles there that we can abide by, because you know the Word of God also says, does not say, thou shalt not drink Clorox. But we don't do that, okay? Just because it's not there, we just want to use good sense. And has anybody ever tried Clorox, by the way? Jeremiah, don't raise your hand, okay? Is he here? I saw him earlier. Is he here? He's not. Somebody call him. Get him to church, all right? But we definitely want to promote that spirit. Now, let me. This is a question that maybe comes to mind. How will this be written? What is all involved in this? Well, I will seek to make it as easy as possible. Most of the work will be on your preacher, on your pastor. Although I will form those of you that will be able to give some counsel, and we'll put together a constitution team that I feel the Lord would lead me to do. And of course, we will present that before the church. But right now, we're in the preliminary stages. I'm looking at constitutions and putting some things together to help in that. So now, we just really need to be praying that the Lord would guide us. Please pray for me. That God would give me wisdom as I set these things forth to put in order. And I need the power of God, I need the wisdom of God and discernment of the Lord, and for that I will be very, very grateful. This is not anything I'm looking to rush. I don't want to just push this through the door, if you know what I mean. It's nothing that needs to be that, neither does it need to be something that drags on for years. We want to be on the Lord's timeline. And we just want to be able to go step by step in the Lord's timing. And I do have a goal in mind. I would love to, if the Lord will allow it. You know, we're just going to see how things work out. But I would love to see us have one in place by March of 2018. That would be a goal of mine. I feel that would give us ample time to go through and formulate a rough draft. And present that before you to look over, ask questions, and for us to look at it together, and then eventually get to a final draft that we can vote on and implement as a New Testament local church, and putting forth the office of the deacons and those things of that nature. And again, it will be presented. We will be on board as a church on this, and I know the Lord will help us. So I know that was a lot of information, starting up on the book of Titus and getting this thing constitution going. But are you excited about a constitution? Amen. Amen. I hope you are. And I hope you'll be praying about it and thinking about it. And I know it'll help us. And you just trust that the Lord will use this in our church in a great way.